From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton, and this is the music of Rain Machine.
Some of them died in colliding hearses, in a ride in some middle hell, in your middle bar. Can't see the forest for all the sickening things pulling on your belt. Just don't get it.
Rain Machine is the new solo project from TV on the Radio guitarist and singer Kip Malone. Rain Machine's self-titled debut album sounds an awful lot like a TV on the Radio record, with strange melodies and off-kilter rhythms, but it's a lot quieter and relatively spare. On this edition of All Songs Considered, Kip Malone joins us as our guest DJ to talk about Rain Machine and share some of his favorite music by other artists. Kip Malone, thanks so much for doing this. Thanks so much for coming in. I really enjoyed seeing your list of picks. Let's just get right to the music and tell us something you'd like to play.
Maybe we can listen to Sharon Vanetten's Tornado. I've been on the road with her for the past couple of weeks, and I've been listening to her music for the past 4 years, and it's been really exciting to hear her grow as a writer and a performer, and I'm really excited for everyone else to hear her.
She is a Brooklyn singer and songwriter, right? So did you've discovered her there in your hometown?
I don't say I discovered her. She introduced herself to me at a show and gave me a CDR because she actually knew one of my siblings from years ago. And I went home and listened to it and was pleasantly surprised.
Well, let's give a listen. The song is Tornado from her album Because I Was in Love. Gorgeous.
Yeah, she's been silencing rooms in drunken bars for a long time. Really very arresting.
Yeah, do you know that she does her own harmonies too on that?
Oh yeah, she does.
Yeah, just gorgeous. Do you get a lot of people handing you CDs at shows?
Yeah, it does happen a lot. And because of experiences like meeting Sharon, I try to remain open to it, you know. At a certain point on tour, it's hard to keep track of things.
So, yeah.
You know, I always think that when I get home and I'm washing dishes or something, that I'm going to listen. And I do that periodically, but usually it takes 6 months before I get to anything.
What? So when do you like to listen to music? How do you listen on your headphones, on an iPod? Do you listen when you drive?
I have had an iPhone before, and I usually get a device like that now if I'm in the studio, just so I can listen incessantly to what's happening through the progression of recording and to get ideas and to critique it and whatnot. But it's not really my preferred way of listening to music. I think it's a pretty fabulous technology, but I find that it lends itself to like a shortening of attention span, and I don't need any help in that department. So my preferred way is not having anything else to do but listen, unless I'm just drawing or, you know, holding someone's hand. Like anything beyond that, like, it's kind of, I don't like the idea of background music, you know.
Yeah, it's so hard to find time to just sit down and do nothing but just listen to the album.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's how I spent a great deal of my youth. I feel like that was as close as I came to a formal education as far as music is concerned, is like just like listening and listening.
You had one pick on your list of songs here that really surprised me, and I love seeing The Rainbow Connection, as sung by Kermit the Frog, from the Muppet movie. How old were you when that came out? Do you remember? I think it was 1979. I was in, I think, the fifth grade when that came out.
79? Really? I feel like I was older than that when it came out.
Well, maybe you were older when you came.
When I saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that soundtrack, I remember we had the soundtrack on vinyl, and we listened to it a lot. It's probably the most played record by me and my brothers and sisters. We tried to dissect the lyrics and figure out exactly what they were talking about.
Yeah, I don't remember listening closely to the lyrics. I knew all the words, but probably didn't think much about them. And then I was listening to the song again this morning, probably for the first time in 25 years or more, mm-hmm. maybe 30 years. And yeah, there's a whole lot more going on with the lyrics than I would have ever had guessed.
Yeah, I feel like I don't actually know who wrote the song, but as a creator and a curator, Jim Henson, Frank Oz, all the people that were behind the Muppets and a good part of Sesame Street and all that they used a medium that especially when directed towards children is often poisonous, but they used it in a really constructive way. And the older I get, the more I appreciate that, you know, especially as I don't see enough examples in a contemporary sense that can stand up to what they were doing back then, you know.
The Muppets in general was such a great place to discover music and hear music as a kid growing up, too. Mm-hmm. When it's been great having access to all those clips on YouTube. You can go back and see, Stevie Wonder doing Superstitious on Sesame Street. It's just mm-hmm. an amazing performance.
That is an incredible, incredible performance. In fact, when TV on the Radio was in the studio last time, I was watching that. I don't know if it was with Jaleel or with Dave repeatedly, and we didn't go there, but it was inspiring. You know, definitely. Yeah, it's an incredible performance. The breakdown in the middle is just. And like it goes on for so much longer than like what musical performances on television are allowed to for mm-hmm. commercial reasons or whatnot. You know, granted it was not a commercial station, so. But yeah, it was that's an incredible thing.
Well, it's not Stevie Wonder, but let's listen to "Rainbow Connection" by Kermit the Frog.
So many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and I know their wrong way and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Do you consider yourself a sentimental guy?
By degrees, I don't know. I mean, like, I definitely don't like the idea of disposing of things that I care about, you know, mm-hmm. if that's sentimental, yeah. I don't know. It's a funny listening to that now, because actually I haven't heard that version since, well, I guess I've watched the Muppet movie with my daughter sometime in the past couple of years, but it's funny to have, like, a frog puppet singing like new age message of like encouragement and inspiration towards people that want to live a creative life, you know?
Yeah, it was really nice to hear this. The song, it brought back a lot of memories, and yeah, it just it feels good to hear that song for the first time in so long. Your new album under the name Rain Machine, a self-titled album, Rain Machine. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to branch off of TV on the Radio and put together this record.
Well, I couldn't feel more fortunate than to have found the musical family that is TV on the Radio. Like, I've learned a great deal. I've had a great many opportunities provided to me through the work that we've done together. I've learned a lot about myself and about other people in the process. And yeah, I feel super fortunate to be a part of that band. At the same time, like, we only have so little time allotted to us in this life, and there's no limits on music and musical expression and creative expression. It doesn't make any sense to me to just do one thing. I feel like I'm not alone in that mindset, certainly within the band, but, you know, probably a lot of musicians, a lot of artists, you know, like, it's the one thing in my life where I know that, like, you can have as many relationships as possible, and that just makes it better, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, because of the amount of time that I spent concentrating on TV on the Radio, and it made fostering musical relationships with other people difficult, because it requires time, like any relationship, and like learning what to expect of one another and how to do what you want to do. So I ended up playing solo shows a lot instead of maybe working harder with Aran or starting another band with other people. Although I did try that a couple of times within the past 6 years. Mm-hmm. But I found that, like, just playing solo, I could dictate when I had the time, I could just do it then, you know? And so I played a showcase in LA, and Ian Brennan was there, mm-hmm. who was a stranger to me, and he reached out to me through different channels, and we got in contact and started talking, and he wanted to produce a record for me. I had done some home recordings and some studio recordings, but, like, just as quickly as possible, just to have something like a CDR to sell at shows, you know. Mm-hmm. But this was going to be something that I could spend a little bit more time, mm-hmm. you know. It definitely wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Ian. Yeah, he facilitated it. You know, I'd been talking about doing it or thinking about doing it, but I definitely wouldn't have done it if he hadn't helped me.
Well, let's take a listen to, this is the first... Well, it's not actually the first cut. It's first cut after the intro. It's called Give Blood. Listen to a little bit of it, and maybe you can tell us how the song came together for you.
Gonna have your mouth gagged so God can't hear your cry. The offer of a fruit and rest been so compromised. Nah, 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 say. The hand to him, tell him run. At the side of the torch, let him up. Now look what all that love has done. Flames, gonna let the clown. Do it all burns off. Do it all burns off. Yeah, come down the mountain. High on the logs. Don't count the cost while the oh, man.
That's a hard song to get out of. I couldn't find a place I wanted to dump out. It's so mesmerizing. I love the rhythms and the great guitar work, too.
Thanks a lot. It's funny listening to it right now. We've been playing it so much faster that it almost seems lethargic to me hearing it now.
I bet, yeah. Well, that happens a lot, though, when you play live, doesn't it? You're all amped up with the crowd. And yeah, it's very nice. So how did the song come together for you? I read that you wrote a lot of these songs actually over a long period of time, that it isn't just a bunch of new songs that you were working on.
No, some of them are years old, but I did do a lot of writing in the studio and worked in three studios, one in Berkeley, one in LA, and one in Brooklyn. And Brooklyn was the last session, and I had a bunch of songs to choose from that were tracked, and I was listening to what we had, and I felt like something was missing as far as like I don't want to like oversimplify it, but maybe it is just a simple thing. Like, I want a record when I'm listening to it to be expressive of as full a variety of emotional tones as possible. And there was a kind of more mellow and
yeah, this is definitely has a lot more energy than a lot of the other tracks.
I felt like
sure.
I needed some things with more energy. So when I was in Brooklyn, which is actually just being in Brooklyn, being in New York City, like there's a certain energy there. And being in a room that I've worked in a lot over the years, like with an engineer that we knew each other very well, decided to just write more when I was in Brooklyn. So I wrote this song, and I wrote Hold You Holy, which is another song on the record.
These songs seem a whole lot more intimate to me than and more personal than a lot of what you've done with TV on the Radio.
Yeah, no, I've been hearing that, but I don't know. I feel like I could quote you songs that I wrote for TV on the Radio that are basically just like the minutes of my days, you know?
Yeah.
Like very specifically without ever, or very rarely even like naming any names, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, it's all personal.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's not competing with like layers of production and everyone's ideas happening, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a synthesis that happens with the TV on the Radio that becomes depersonalizing, but for me, it's not depersonalizing. For me, like, I'm there every minute or as many minutes as I can be in the studio obsessively. So like I remember when everything was laid down, I remember it. Like it's all very, very personal. But I've been hearing that, and I think that it's just the nature of it being sparer.
Yeah, it's much more minimal.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's going to lend itself to the idea of it being more personal and more intimate, you know.
Take us to another one of your picks. It was a band I'd never heard of before, Group Due.
Yeah.
Tell us about them.
You know, I wish I knew more. That record came out on Sublime Frequencies, which has been putting out some really great music from around the world. I started looking for music that sounded anything like the band Sonara Win, basically, mm-hmm. because that band blew my mind. They're blowing my mind, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's some of my favorite music. And so I started looking on YouTube for more of it and then, you know, going to the record store and buying it. I can say this about the music that by the very nature of the recording process, which I imagine wasn't much more complex than a tape recorder, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what it sounds like when it gets to us. It's already like built-in predisposition to appreciate that aesthetically because of music that I listened to in the 80s and the 90s, which was recorded in people's living rooms or, you know, that informed how I heard music and what was possible, you know? Because it just meant everything, that anyone could do it, you know, anyone could make music, and that was very exciting. So that's a little bit of a digression, but then when I started hearing this music, it has some similar qualities as far as, like, you know, there wasn't a budget. It doesn't sound like there was a budget to go into a studio to record this record, and the guitar work is really beautiful, and a lot of the guitar music that's coming out of this part of the world, out of the Western Sahara, is really inspiring to me right now. And I'm trying to figure out a way to get over there.
Well, let's listen to Group Due. Do you know the song? Is it Wazan Samat? Is that how you pronounce it?
That sounds as close as I would have gotten.
All right, great. This is Group Due, and the song Wazan Samat.
Mm-hmm.
really does sound like they're just sitting around together in a living room, jamming.
That's certainly not a HD system in there.
No, yeah. No, that's the best recording we could find of it, too. Yeah. Yeah. I hear a lot of the African rhythms and guitar work from West Africa in a lot of the Rain Machine music, and I was thinking specifically of the song Smiling Black Faces. Tell us a little bit about that song.
It's, I don't know, if you're hearing that in there, it's just slipping in there. It wasn't a conscientious attempt, but you know, it's kind of a rock song, which means it's kind of a blues song, which means it's kind of a West African song.
You know? It'll get there.
It'll get there, yeah. But that song I wrote it pretty slowly. It didn't really get finished until it was recorded, although I performed it in different versions for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of questions early on in doing press with TV and the radio about race and music and race and politics, and it got to be really annoying and something that like we were very direct about not wanting to talk about with people. I think that it would be ideal to live in a world where race was recognized as a cultural or like a societal invention that I believe it to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, a lot of what I like about this life is a direct result of some extreme bullshit that happened, you know, hundreds of years ago. Like I like rock and roll, and rock and roll probably wouldn't exist without the transatlantic slave trade, you know. And I, you know, I like the fact that I exist, and I probably wouldn't exist without it, you know, or not in this form, not in this body. But I don't know. It's definitely something that informs a lot of how I see the world because of being a black man in America. And I don't know. I wanted to talk about some specific things about how I was feeling, and I put it in a song. That's what the song's about. The song also talks about the murder of Sean Bell at the hands of the New York City Police Department, and I kind of feel hesitant about putting that in there because I don't know his family, and you know, it's kind of like I don't want to use someone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of black men that are murdered by police across this country and have been, the list is for anyone who doesn't pay attention to that thing is shockingly long, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna stop because Obama was elected president, but it means something that it can be that long, and that can be all right. I mean, it means something about the values system of this country and the society for Sean Bell to be able to be murdered in his car without a weapon on the day he was going to be married. You know, it means something that those people that he can be killed, and that the people that killed him can keep their jobs. So, and what it means is a very ugly thing for me, you know.
Yeah.
And instead of acting out in a way that at best have very limited positive results, it would most likely just lead to me being dead or stuck in prison, I don't know, and write a song about it. That's
wow.
That's my option. Yeah.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of it from Rain Machine. Smiling Black Faces is the cut.
I see a slow genocide, body strong like tanning heights, on the flag covered babies, and in the mirror, love, I see another sun. I will try hard to smile back at me. It's no Bangkok affair, it's no undue despair. I know a joy that's mocked, and I know a grief. Well, I know a slave name, and I know a cold
The guitars there that I was thinking of, those little triplets or 16th notes, whatever you'd call that. It was very reminiscent of some Western African guitar music I've heard.
Well, I've been listening to a lot for a long time, so it makes perfect sense that it would be getting in there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Very nice. Take us someplace different from one of your picks.
Let's listen to Diane Cluck.
Diane Cluck, tell us a little bit about her.
Diane Cluck is a singer and a writer and a gardener and a healer from New York City. From Pennsylvania originally, I guess, but I met her in New York when I first moved there. I heard her singing at Sidewalk Cafe in the East Village and Pete's Candy Store in Brooklyn. And she's one of my favorite writers and singers, and her voice is fantastic to me. It really sends me. We had the good fortune to do West Coast dates at the beginning of this tour with her, and it was pretty magical. And she's been inspiring me for a long time. I feel like the choices that she makes and the way she lives her life are not the ones that are like ladder climbing in the world of entertainment at all. And I think that that's fantastic, but I also feel like more people should hear her.
That's great. What's the name of the song?
I think the song that I picked was Macy's Day Bird.
Yeah, Macy's Day Bird from Diane Cluck. Let's give a listen.
Stepping in lynchpin, 6-inch stiletto. park, where the mud from its meadows runs into the gutters, all glutted with pink ostrich feather, the plumage that falls from a Macy's Day dancer.
I thought maybe this was a club recording or something, but now I think maybe she recorded it in her living room, maybe.
Yeah.
You can hear the traffic outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah, that's what a confident voice.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I think she's real good. I feel really happy to have in my life a number of people whose work really inspires me, and she's one of them. If we had an hour, I would ask you to play the OCs, and I would ask you to play a number of friends and whose work has been blowing my mind for a long time. I feel super excited to know them.
That's great.
Yeah.
Just one more cut from you that you brought in. Tell us a little bit about the Dead Sea. We can go out on this.
Okay. It's a band from New Zealand that started in the 80s, and I don't know if I understood it when I first heard it. It was, you know, my ears were tuned to, say, Sonic Youth, and that was, or like, you know, late Coltrane, Pharoah Sanders type thing. It was like as noisy as I could understand at the time that they were introduced to me. And they seemed so broken and messy to me when I first heard them. And then I was early on experimenting with psychedelics. That was one of their records. I don't know if it was Esau Kills or DR-503 was in heavy rotation in the apartment I was living in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening and having my mind really blown. And so people talk about psychedelic music, and they're often talking about like music from the 60s.
Right,
and,
Pink Floyd yeah,
or The Dead or something. But like for me, psychedelic music is the Dead Sea and Unwound and Sonic Youth and things like that, you know. And this is another band that like expanded what was music to me and what was possible with music and what, you know, and this is like a pop song for them, but I've definitely heard records where you could, or songs that were difficult to differentiate whether or not you were listening to, say, one of their side projects, say like Gate or something, or if you're listening to a refrigerator that was having a problem, you know. But like, I don't want to like discount it at all, because like there's an intention that went into the music that like definitely carries you. It's still music. It's a communication, you know.
And this is the Dead Sea with the letter C, not S-E-A.
Yeah.
And the song is called Mighty. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in and doing this. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Kip Malone of the bands Rain Machine and TV on the Radio. To hear full versions of the songs featured on this program, go to our website, npr.org/allsongs. For NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered.
Just down the end of the hall. I think I prefer the grass to the fucking concrete. When I was young, my friends used to say, my